Author Margaret Verbal taps into her Cherokee heritage for her book, starting with her Pulitzer Prize finalist, Maud's Line. Her follow-up is out this month. The novel set in what is now the state of Oklahoma. The land back then was called Indian Territory. The Cherokee and other tribes were removed from their land, mostly in southeastern states, and relocated there in forced marches that became known as the Trail of Tears. Thousands died along the way. Cherokee America Singer, the novel's lead character, is the matriarch of a prosperous farm family in Indian Territory, but she has her hands full taking care of a dying husband and five sons, and that's before one of her hired hands goes missing and a murder is committed that could threaten Cherokee sovereignty. The new novel, a sprawling epic, is called Cherokee America, and Margaret Verbal joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Eric. Nice to be here.
Cherokee America Singer is a fictional character, but we find out in your afterwards she was inspired by a real-life woman that your grandmother first told you about, Cherokee America Rogers. Tell us about her. What did you take from that real-life woman to create or inspire your lead character?
Well, I first heard about Cherokee America Rogers, as you said, from my grandmother. And my grandmother felt very warmly toward this woman, even though she'd been dead for many a year by the time I ever heard about her. And the reason Grandma felt so fondly of her is because when her father, who is my great-grandfather, and his brother came as orphans of the Civil War into Indian Territory trying to find work and place to live, Mrs. Rogers took them in. And she essentially made their lives. They became farmers there in eastern Oklahoma, and they married into Cherokee Indians, and they had a good life. And my grandmother was deeply grateful to Mrs. Rogers. And so that's sort of what propelled me into looking more about her life and investigating it and investigating the history of that time and place in Indian Territory.
As the daughter of a white man and a Cherokee woman, Czech, as Cherokee America Singer is known in the novel, is able to sort of live in both worlds. As you say in the book, Czech repeats family history by marrying the enemy. Her husband is a white man. How much of that idea of trying to balance both worlds is in your own family's history?
Well, I think in general, the Cherokees adopted a strategy early on of marrying into white people on the theory that whites would be less likely to kill their own children in the future. And you see that pattern again and again through Cherokee history of alliances with white people through marriage. And the whites, interestingly enough, often become enmeshed in the tribe rather than taking the Indian out and having that Indian person live as white person. So we have, I mean, John Ross, for instance, who was famous as a chief
of one faction of Cherokees,
chief at the time of the removal. Mm-hmm. He was only eighth Cherokee. He came from a Scottish family, but he was culturally Cherokee.
Czech lived with her husband in Ohio before moving to Indian Territory. And at one point, you say in the book, you know, she had more rights living as a Cherokee woman than she did as a white woman in Ohio. Was that true in general of Cherokee women then, do you think?
I do think that. You know, historically, the Cherokee Nation was matriarchal and matrilineal. Mm-hmm. The women owned everything, the house, the fields, the children. And the men sort of came and went. And the reason for that was because that they were off hunting. But it gave Cherokee women a sense of empowerment that I think that white women did not have at the time.
Let's talk a little more about the time that this novel is set in. It's just a couple of decades after the Trail of Tears, the forced movement by the U.S. government of tens of thousands of Native peoples off their lands to present-day Oklahoma. But it's set before Oklahoma became a state, thereby ending what was known as Indian Territory. Your novel shows that the position of Indians, you know, in this Indian Territory is a precarious one.
Yes, it is. The Cherokee Nation had a terrible time because with illegal immigration, and of course those were white people coming into the Cherokee Nation, and it was a constant struggle, and they'd had that struggle back east and had been promised that if they would go out there to the west, they wouldn't have that struggle anymore. Mm-hmm. And of course immediately they started having to combat white illegal immigration into mm-hmm. their nation.
There's a murder committed in the novel, and without spoiling anything, it is important who it's committed by. Can you explain that for us?
The Cherokee Nation and Indian Territory in general, and that's not just Cherokees but Choctaws and, you know, Seminoles and everybody else, they all had a problem with white crime coming in. I mean, everybody was on the run from Arkansas and Kansas and Missouri. All they had to do was go across the boundary into one of these Indian nations, and then the law couldn't pursue them. Mm. You know, a lot of these people were pretty desperate people and pretty ruthless people. And basically what the Cherokees were trying to do was that they were trying to keep their law and their courts viable. And that was a crucial part of being able to keep their sovereignty.
Margaret, racial factors come up in the novel. Chex Cook and her hired hand are freed African Americans living in Indian Territory. How common was it that blacks settled in this territory after the Trail of Tears?
Well, the Cherokees had been slave-holding Indians, and so had, I think, all of the southern tribes that were removed down there. So what you had was a class of people who were called freedmen. Mm-hmm. And then you had, for two of my African-American characters, they had always been freed people. Mm-hmm. And so there were African-Americans in Indian Territory, there were Indians, and there were white people, and there was everybody mixed up with each other. And I sort of like that. I like everybody mixed up with each other and getting along and making alliances and understanding each other.
Margaret, there were Cherokees who fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War and some who fought for the North. And during the Trail of Tears, the Cherokee Nation was divided on really how best to fight back against the U.S. government. Talk about that divide and how it comes up, even in subtle ways, in your book.
Well, I am actually descended from families that were Treaty Party families.
Your family was on the side of signing the treaty and going along with the forced removal?
Yes. We have not been portrayed very well in history. And, of course, you know, it is portrayed, and I believe it to be true, one of the great tragedies of American history. But it is also true that the Cherokee Nation is a strong and vibrant Indian nation. And there are a lot of Indian nations that are dead. And I think in the long run, we've done okay.
Margaret, as you write in your afterword, the Cherokee were deprived of their rights when Oklahoma became a state in 1907, and it took decades to reestablish the tribe. You say that they're now one of the largest employers in the state of Oklahoma. They are a strong tribe, and much has changed, of course. Is your fiction your way of attempting to recapture some of what's been lost?
Well, when I first started writing this book or thinking about it and reading Cherokee history, I had no idea that the Cherokee Nation would be as strong and vibrant as it is today. When I was growing up, I thought this was a lost way of life, that after my grandparents' generation, that really, there would be no more Cherokee Indians. And I found this heartbreaking, to tell you the truth. So I began being interested in this history long before I thought that the Cherokee Nation would have the resources it does today.
Margaret Verbal's new novel is Cherokee America. Margaret, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.